Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Monday to you. It's Monday, October the 19th. We've got a lot to talk about today. Just want to let you guys know, like I said, Keith Pompey. In addition to being a Locked On 76ers host, I'm also the Philadelphia 76ers beat writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer. You can follow my work on Inquirer.com. You can pick up the Philadelphia Inquirer. You can also pick up the Daily News, or you can follow me on Twitter. Or not or, and you can follow me on Twitter at Pompey on Sixers. And the same thing for Instagram. I'm Pompey on Sixers as well there. But today I want to talk to you about the restructuring of the 76ers front office. You know, I want to talk about that in the first segment. You know, the second segment, just talk about, you know, realistic moves the Sixers can make. And then the third segment is always going to be tidbits, you know, leftover stuff. But when we talk about the 76ers front office, you know, I raved Friday night. I got on here and I said it was a great move by the Sixers by getting Peter Dinwiddie. I was about to call him Spencer Dinwiddie. I've always wanted to say that, keep messing up. But Peter Dinwiddie, executive vice president of basketball ops. And then they also picked up, you know, a guy in the player personnel in Prosper Kamanja. Man, I'm sorry, Karanja. I'm sorry, Prosper. I'm killing your name. Killing it. Now, again, these are good moves. Good moves. But unless the 76ers decide to make changes within the way they make decisions, you know, the way the owners continue to stay heavily involved, you know, all they did was change the furniture around. Or basically, let's just put it this way. You went out there and you put a cover, a new cover on top of the couch. Like, you know how back in the day when I was a kid, man, I'm be honest with you, my grandmother, I would go over to my grandma's house and she would have like plastic on the furniture, right? It was like a plastic casing. And the reason being is because she didn't want people to mess up the couch, right? So it was like this little plastic thing. And then when you go over other people's houses and the same thing. But when you took that plastic off, it was the same couch. Like the same couch. You know what I mean? You just probably didn't sweat as much because you didn't have the plastic on. But it was the same couch. And I guess that was the style, like in the 70s and stuff like that. People did that. Nowadays, people just say, don't go sit on that couch. Like, you know, this is this room, the living room, the dining room. We don't go in there. You go in the family room. Just don't sit on that couch. Right? But when you look at it, so the Sixers, when they had, you know, a lot of people, they kill Brian Colangelo and they talk about what a great job Sam Hinkie did and they killed Brian Colangelo. Well, to me, it was different stages, different phases of the franchise, right, of the process. When Hinkie came, he was acquiring assets. When Colangelo came, it was trying to, you know, to put the assets in place. And when Elton Brand came in and that regime, it was all about, okay, let's trade some assets to get players, right? That's what they did. Let's draft players and get players. That's what they, draft players and trade for players. That's what they did. And you can argue that stage one, tanking, acquiring assets, is a success, right? You can argue that. Then from there on, you can say that they made mistakes. But the thing that stands out to me to let you know that it was all part of the same process and everything was the same was the acquisition of all these second round picks and trading second round picks for cash, right? And making trades for cash. That was something that was signed off by the ownership. That tells you that it was the same direction. No matter who was in charge, that's something that the 76ers did. But then it came to a point, Hinkie became a fall guy for the stuff that was happening off the court, right? He has to go. Then all of a sudden, Colangelo made that one mistake with the Twittergate, right? But this and that. But then people had to go. It's always that thing. So, yes, there's a lot of optimism right now. A lot of people are saying what a great move this is. And, hey, I'm one of them. But the Sixers have to change their approach. They have to get give people an opportunity to have more of their voice and do things. Now, if you have Peter Dinwiddie, if he's in here and he's doing things, but he can't approve things or he can't go over things, or Elton Brand can't do what he wants to do, and Doc Rivers and all them, you didn't make a difference. You could have kept Alex Rucker. You could have kept Sergio Leben. You could have kept all these people. I mean, as much as we want to make fun and people say, oh, wow, it was Sergio Leben's fault, he had such a heavy hand. Now, how many analytic directors you know who, if they say, hey, you got a huge voice and you can do this and do that, it's like, oh, nah, I just want to be in my place. I'm not going to do it. But if they tell you, hey, we got this sheet that you're going to give the coach, and you're in charge of the team, and you're in charge of the rotation and substitution pattern, heck yeah, you're going to take that job. But you know what I mean? That's like you can't fault him. You can't. Never mind that the brother can't really, like, never played the game, never did this, never did that. You empowered him. So that starts at the top. So all I'm trying to say is, until they make some changes, until they make some real changes from the top, we'll probably see the same thing. And I think that, you know, this is the time where we'll probably see a difference, right? I do. I think that the stuff got so bad to where as guys are going to have an input now. I do. Now, again, I'm talking about people working this show, not the ownership. Hey, y'all, let me tell you this. We talk about my Built Bar, right? And I keep telling you I'm addicted to chocolate, right? So all I'm saying to y'all is y'all need to go out there and try this Built Bar, Power Bar. And I mean, I'm protein bar. It is all that and then some, right? So I'm a little upset right now because I ran out. And it's not just because I ran out. It's because I can't keep them in the house, right? You know, I go to the store, I come back, and then you go and you see, like, what happened to my Built Bar? Like, is this Reese's or Hershey's chocolate? I mean, stuff is going out. You know what I mean? So I'm just telling you guys, you have to go on there and you have to do the promo code Locked On, right? Locked On to get $10 off your next Built Bar purchase. Do it to builtbar.com. But I'm here to tell you, man, the thing is addictive. Hey, so, you know, so when we talk about the changes that has to be made, you know, it's simple stuff. You know, like, hey, for the Sixers, you know, it's simple. Like, I think with the Sixers, what I'm saying that the ownership needs to have less influence. I think the star players that we keep saying, you guys need to do this and you need to do that. And Brett Brown always said it. They did this. They did that. Nah, you finally got to do it. I think this team, and only how this team is going to be successful, and it's simple stuff, y'all. Only how they're going to be successful is that Joel Embiid actually comes back in shape. Joel Embiid comes back in the best shape of his life. The best shape of his life. He has to be healthy, in shape, and get out there and run. And guess what? This is the summertime. We're seeing videos of Ben Simmons, shots now. I haven't seen a video, but I've seen shots of Ben Simmons attempting three-pointers that his agency, Clutch Sports, is putting out there. Well, we have to see it again. We have to see it more so in the game. You know, like, I know this all sounds simple, and it sounds like, hey, it's going to happen. Like, why are we keep doing this? But the reason that I keep saying this over and over again, because we keep seeing this and we keep saying it. And in order for the Sixers to get better, that has to happen. But that takes a buy-in. Now, the good thing is, that's probably Doc Rivers could tell him to do it. or he can add and you know, get him to do it more so than Brett Brown has, right? B, you look at this roster. I mean, they need some other shooters, of course. We talked about that until we'll continue to talk about that until I'm blue in the face, right? But I think that it has to start with the big two. Now, Tobias Harris, you know, I think that we'll see Tobias have a great year. Now, again, when I know he averaged 20.9 points the 1 year, the year before he was traded, the season he was traded to the Sixers, was it 2018-19, was it? No, it was 2018-19. Yeah, yeah. So the thing is, now is he going to be the leading scorer? Is he going to do this? Maybe not, because he has to play with Ben. He has to play with Embiid. And I think that if Ben has the ball, I can see Tobias being a second leading scorer. But if Ben doesn't, I can see them trying to go through him a little bit more. Embiid is going to be the leading scorer. So let's just say, you know, so Tobias, he's not going to be the man, but he can be the man, if you know what I mean. And what I mean by that is he could be more aggressive. He can take people off the dribble. He can get more of a rhythm in there. But the bread is going to be buttered with Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid is going to be the leader. So those three. Now, you're also going to have to run some plays with Josh Richardson. Before, Josh Richardson was just out there freelancing. You know, and it wasn't like they had set plays and stuff like that. Nah, the coach said in order for him to get his, he got to get his. So he was getting his. But I think that Doc has to utilize him the best way possible. You know, Matisse Thybulle. You know, you got to, like, if Matisse, I honestly think if Matisse Thybulle can develop a jumper more consistent, which, to you know, some people faulted his offensive game. I didn't. But if he could develop one more assistant, because you got to realize from your rookie season to your second season is the biggest growth in the NBA for a player. And I think that Matisse Thybulle is going to emerge and be someone that we're going to be like, wow. I mean, we've already that way. We already said that. But I think it's going to be a huge leap. That's if he's somewhere where he can work out. Because forget, I mean, we can't forget that this is a pandemic still going on. But I think Matisse could be huge for the Sixers. I really do. And, you know, I know some people are saying, hey, they may have to trade Matisse. To make a deal go, come on, man, you can't do that. You can't get rid of Matisse. Nah, you can't. I mean, you got rid of Landry Shamet. Yes, you got Tobias back, but it would be great if you would have kept Landry Shamet to play with Tobias, right? You know, they got rid of Jeremy Grant, and now people are like, whoa, I wish we would have kept Jeremy Grant. You know, so I'm saying this to say, like, you can't just, like, they're getting rid of the young assets, man. And they need these guys. I mean, no one knew that Jeremy Grant was going to be who he was going to be. Landry Shamet was a great shooter. But as soon as he was traded, you start seeing him, like, in a great situation. You're like, wow, they did what? Now, so you can't do that. You just can't. So all that talk about, okay, maybe they'll get rid of Matisse to get someone else, nah. I mean, because think about it. 2 years ago, Matisse was supposed to be the missing piece, right? Matisse was all they were missing from going to making a championship run. You can't get rid of him. You can't. Not at all. All right, so I'm back now. I mean, I don't think you can get rid of Matisse. I think if the ownership lets the people do what they can do, the team will be better off, right? You know, I think it's going to take some time because, see, let's face it, you know, right now, and what I mean by some time is it's going to take a couple seasons. Like, a lot of people think all of a sudden, okay, you got Doc, you got this new front office, and stuff is just magically going to happen. Nah, it's kind of like taking over a house with a lot of promise, and you know it has some work to do, but people all of a sudden says, oh, well, you can get a lot of money for it because of the neighborhood and because it has print promise, and you just bought and you just invested into like this kind of, you know, people to do construction and all that, contractors, nice ones, upscale, right? And he talks about putting a pool in there and putting a basketball court in the backyard and the whole nine, and you know, everyone's excited about it. Well, all that's good, fine and dandy, but you got to put the work in. I mean, you have to literally dig a hole and do all that stuff to put the pool in. You have to put a new paint job or put some siding on the house. You know, you have to upgrade maybe the bathrooms. You know what I mean? There's a lot of work to do. And I think that, you know, you don't do that like in 3 months. It takes a couple years for all that stuff to happen, right? You know, I mean, you know, now maybe you can work a year round and do stuff, but typically it takes a couple years for you to make all these upgrades to a house, especially if you're living in the house. Now, if you're like a construction company, you know, it's quicker. But if you're living in that house and stuff like that, you know, it takes a little bit of time. So what I'm saying is, I know people are optimistic, but you got to let the front office people come in and work their magic. You got to let Doc Rivers come in and decide on a roster and see who he's going to make and see if he can get the best out of his stars. Because I'm here to tell you, I think that if things don't change within a year, some people may be out of here. You know, they may be. I mean, Doc Rivers is making a lot of money to be the coach. A lot. That's a huge investment. 5 years, too. That's a huge investment. So this, it's not like the Sixers like, hey, Doc, yeah, you didn't work out. Yeah, these boys, I see how it goes. Peace, brother. Oh, yeah, yeah, you can take that money. Yeah, we just threw that money. Yeah, you know, money's no object to us. Nah, they paid him, so, you know, he kind of like, hey, I got a voice. This is what I want to do. We're going to make it work. You know what I mean? That's just how it's going to be. That's how it's going to be. But look, I want to thank y'all for listening. And you know where you can go to subscribe to this podcast, wherever you listen to your podcast at, you can subscribe here. You can also, like I said, go to Enquirer.com and read me. You can follow me on Twitter at Pompey on Sixers. And you can follow me on Instagram at Pompey on Sixers. Peace. Have a great, great, great day.